Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Rory Appleton, the politics reporter at the Fresno Bee. Welcome to Background Briefing, Rory Appleton.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Devin Nunes has made some headlines as a result of a secret tape recording. He was delivering a private talk at a private fundraiser for a Republican colleague, Kathy McMorris Rogers, in Washington last week, when he basically made it clear, which actually shouldn't be a surprise. His priorities seem to have been pretty clear all along, but it sort of came out of the horse's mouth that he feels that the House Republicans must keep the House in order to protect Trump from Robert Mueller. Now, as somebody who has covered him locally, how did it strike you? Was it a surprise, Rory?
Oh, no, not a surprise at all. I actually, in my last sit-down interview that I had with him in February before he started, you know, all of his kind of anti-press, no-interview kind of strategies that he's gone for today, he actually had said before that Congress's job is to protect the president. It's not their first job, but it is something that he said before. And when you look at, you know, the demographics of his district, it's not necessarily something that is a major issue, something that's going to get held against him, because that district is pro-Trump. They voted for Trump over Hillary. And, you know, some people would very much like to see him break with the president, but some people are quite happy that he's so close and feel like he can actually get things for the district because he has the president here. So it's not a surprise at all.
So nobody's bothered by the fact that it doesn't seem that Devin Nunes understands the Constitution and the separation of powers and checks and balances and that the role of Congress.
I definitely wouldn't say nobody. I mean, quite a few people, and I think it's been growing more and more as people have sort of even begun to gravitate towards Nunes' challenger in the upcoming election, Andrew Jans. He's been getting larger and larger public meetings, and that's one of the main that's one of Jans' main talking points in terms of, you know, attacking him on the separation of powers. But even just average folks who I've interviewed, farmers and that type, you know, in the last, you know, about a year or so, they've even brought that up, that exact thing that, you know, Nunes does not understand the separation of powers, and that, you know, Congress's role is to provide a check to the executive branch. That being said, they're still, you know, among his base and his real, you know, large group of core supporters, the larger farmers, a lot of the elected officials and stuff like that, they are all pretty firmly pro-Trump and have not at all broken with Trump. So the fact that Nunes is out there trying to protect the president is good news for them.
Well, it's already prompted Representative Ted Lieu, a local Democrat here in Los Angeles, to tweet out, quote, "Under our Constitution, the duty of Congress is not to clear the president. The duty of Congress is to be a check and a balance on the executive branch and to pursue the facts wherever they may lead. Devin Nunes should resign for perverting the oath he took." I don't imagine that's going to affect Nunes, but what do you think will affect the race down there, or is it just a foregone conclusion? I'd like to get a sense of the sort of makeup of you say that it's obviously it's a rural area, and mm-hmm. when you talk about the farmers supporting him, there's also a lot of Latinos, are there not, in the neighborhood?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a pretty large Latino base. The difficulty for the Democrats, at least, has been two things: getting Latinos out, you know, to actually vote. They vote at a very low percentage, and then also getting the youth vote out. Nunes is very much supported by the over 65 sort of age group, which votes at, you know, at about 56-60% kind of clip, whereas the younger voters who would most likely support Jans, who's only 34, they I think only 10% actually voted in the primary, which is something, you know, you see across the whole nation. But I think it is starting to change slightly in terms of some of the smaller local farmers, and I have a story up today, actually, in which one of them is actually challenging Devin Nunes' ballot designation. He claims to be a farmer, and some of the local smaller farmers are saying, no, you're not. You're a professional congressman. You haven't farmed in years. But some of the local farmers, they're hurt, especially by the tariffs. I think that's been a big switch recently. I've talked to several who are outraged. They say that the tariffs, which they don't put on Nunes, they're you know, a Trump administration thing. The tariffs have really hurt. I mean, just in, say, citrus, which is a huge industry here, the tariffs have gone from 11% to over 50% when in terms of exporting to China, which is their one of their main exports. So that is an insane, that's a 300% increase. And so a lot of the locals want to see him break with Trump on this. They're people who support him, people who vote for him, but they really want to see some sort of action on the tariffs. The other couple of issues that have been brought up are immigration. We rely pretty heavily on migrant workers. A lot of these small farmers, again, can't afford. They're being audited by ICE as part of the administration's crackdown on immigration. And they lose 40 to 80% of their workers. And, I mean, that's obviously a major hurt for any business. And so that is another issue. And then, of course, water is among the more persistent issues that we've had in years. Devin campaigned for water. He worked, when he was started in Congress, worked pretty diligently to try and get some sort of federal water relief for this area. But a lot of people have started to say he's been in Congress for 16 years and my well has run dry and, you know, things like that. So I think those are three of the issues that he's sort of getting some pushback now from people who've traditionally supported him. The race has gotten a lot closer. In the primary, Jans was more than 20 points behind. There was a crowded race. But now he's got a poll. It's a pretty decent poll. It's a Democrat funded, but it's pretty decent. And it says that he's within 8 points. It's just this final push. But, you know, Devin does have a pretty unshakable sort of support base. And I mean, he's among the best fundraisers in the country. I mean, he's already raised $10 million in this race. And it's a pretty poor district. I think we're 15th or 16th in the nation in terms of poorest congressional districts. So it's pretty remarkable he's able to bring in that kind of money. And Challenger's done a good job, but it's going to be hard.
And again, I'm speaking with Rory Appleton, the politics reporter at the Fresno Bee. And I believe the Fresno Bee, didn't they have an editorial basically saying not to vote for Devin Nunes?
You know, I don't think that we've had an editorial that said that particularly. I'm not sure. I'm not mm-hmm. in editorial. That's you know, right. Completely different part of the building. I know that in the past we had actually endorsed him in every race that he's ran. I mean, he's been in politics since the 90s. He was a local school board member. He ran unsuccessfully for Congress in 98, I think it was. And we've endorsed him every time. But I know we have had some editorials that were critical of him, and he's also had some advertisements locally and nationally that were quite critical of the Fresno Bee. But, you know, I'm the politics reporter.
Sure.
So I just, whatever the facts are on both sides, that's what I'm interested in.
I understand. I think they were criticizing his kind of, it was at the time when he made that peculiar trip to the White House and appears to be sort of carrying the water for the White House and not doing mm-hmm. his job as the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, from which he had to step down as a result mm-hmm. of that. I think it was at that time. It may not have been. I may mischaracterize it. That they, mm-hmm. but it was certainly was critical of him. So just going back to the primary on the Democratic side, where Andrew Jans won, a lot of Democratic progressives say that Jans has been basically the choice of the DCCC, and that there were some other possible candidates that might have done better. A Latino community organizer, I don't remember his name now. Is there anything to that?
Rico Franco. Franco is his name.
Right. Is there anything to that? Did the Democrats not choose the best candidate, do you think?
You know, I'm not so sure. In talks with the DCCC all leading up to this race, they were very clear that they were not going to basically, they told me they thought Jans was a good candidate, and that they were just going to let the primary sort it out before they made any sort of major decisions or buys. What I've heard recently, actually just yesterday at a town hall he hosted, is that Jans has been in contact with both the National Party and just the local arm of the DCCC. And basically, they've sort of come to this agreement of he's fundraising quite well on his own. There are other battleground districts in California that need major attention, districts like, Rohrabacher's, Denham's, just to the north of us here in District 10. He's seen as very, very vulnerable. And the same with David Valadao in the neighboring District 21 here. That's a plus 16 Democratic district that the Democrats have wanted for basically 6 years since it was created. So I think he's got this, Jans has this sort of uneasy-ish kind of partnership with the DCCC where it's sort of a live and let live thing, because he's also very critical of Nancy Pelosi. He outspoken critic of Nancy Pelosi. I saw him, expound yesterday on TV about how she needs to not be the speaker. It's time for new leadership. It's time for a younger look to Congress. He's not the only one in the country who says that, but I think it's affected his position within the DCCC's view of things, because I mean they've given him absolutely no money. Everything that he's raised $4 million with an average donation of about $19. He is very much the sort of the grassroots. He's taking no money from corporate PACs. He loves marketing in that way. And so I think he's got sort of an uneasy partnership with the National Party.
Well, he sounds more like somebody on the Bernie side, doesn't he?
Well, the thing about him is he's also quite moderate in his where he is. And that's typical of this area. As somebody who's on that far progressive, Bernie Sanders type side, it would have a very tough go of it. But for example, he's a gun owner, and he's in favor of universal registration in terms of gun ownership, but he's not in favor of sort of the stronger gun crackdowns that a lot of the progressives would like to see. He's also a prosecutor here in town, and as such, he's very law and order, very mm-hmm. much involved with that. And the same thing with immigration. I mean, he's got, and even Medicare for All, he's got more centrist kind of positions than a progressive candidate would have on those.
Right. I meant in terms of Bernie Sanders fundraising, taking small donations.
Oh, yeah. No, he's definitely sort of like an outsider, mm-hmm. kind of, building it all himself. I mean, I've been to events with him where he speaks in living rooms. I mean, every other day, usually. I mean, he's told me that the smallest crowd he's had so far was 4 people in a house in Visalia. But he's also doing, big on social media. He's got campaign ads running. He does big events. He does town hall pretty much every month. So he's definitely on that sort of grassroots outsider building himself up thing. He's definitely of that vein.
So just to get a sense of the electorate here and why there is an appeal for Devin Nunes, given the obvious fact that he is very, very much tied to Trump, and he made it really clear in this tape recording at this fundraiser what his priorities are. And there's been obviously an avalanche of criticism about him not doing his job as a congressman and being kind of a toady of the White House. That is not resonating, you said earlier in the interview, with his supporters. What is the core support? And particularly when you said he's not really a farmer anymore, at least some of the smaller farmers think that. My understanding is that his family comes from the Azores, the Portuguese islands mm-hmm. in the Atlantic. He actually did use his clout on the House Intelligence Committee to get some sort of boondoggle going there with U.S. Signals Intelligence, which a lot of intelligence professionals thought was a complete waste of money. So that certainly didn't serve the district. But you say he has served the district. He's brought home the bacon. And with a large Latino population, you would think there would be some opposition there. So what is the kind of core support? It's just, it's not a ethnic one. In other words, this is not a mm-hmm. Portuguese neighborhood, yeah. is it? Or a Basque neighborhood or whatever? What's the
Well, actually, he does, there is actually quite a sizable Portuguese community in many of the cities. There are, they call them fraternities, basically, in Fresno, in Tulare, in Visalia, and he is very much sort of the Portuguese community's guy. I mean, he's the keynote speaker at their national events. He and Jim Costa who is a Democrat who also represents Fresno, are sort of they are, and even Valadeo, also of Portuguese descent. We have this sort of we have three Portuguese congressmen, at least of Portuguese descent, in our area. So there is a little bit of something to that, but I think his core is still older folks, the wealthy, a lot of, you know, they mentioned in terms, a lot of his critics sort of mentioned he's not doing anything locally for the district. But, you know, he tried to put himself forward as one of the major workers in the tax plan. And he told local leaders and farmers and everything, I'm going to get you this tax plan and it's going to save you a boatload of money. And a lot of them agree that he did pull that off and it will save them money. So a lot of them look at that and say he's playing a sort of a national game to help us. He's getting us big sweeping things rather than the sort of hyper local little things he was trying to get before. So they look at his work on tax reform. They look at, you know, his attempt to try and get Obamacare repealed. A lot of people are quite in favor of that, even though we have quite a large poor community that would. Hundreds of thousands of people would lose in our area would lose health insurance if Obamacare was repealed. But still, people look at that and say he's done a good job, and they basically say he's been in Congress a long time, and his supporters basically say, well, now he's focused on keeping the country safe with his work on the Intelligence Committee. And, you know, we can sort of accept that he's not going to be here as much as he was in the past because he's tried his best to help us in the past. Now he's got to, you know, sort of answer this higher calling of helping the country.
And in spite of what you told us, that the tariffs that Trump, in this trade war that he started with China, are hurting local farmers, and the immigration policies of the Trump administration are hurting local farmers because they're losing up to 80% of their workers being rounded up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There are at least a few farms who receive the ICE I-9 audits who lost about that much, because it's not, they won't necessarily be rounded up. It's not like a raid. But these farm workers learn that ICE is around and they don't show up. They won't risk it.
Sure.
They'll just leave and try and work somewhere else.
Well, Rory Appleton, I thank you very much for filling us in on Devin Nunes' district and his political fortunes, which one would think might have been impacted negatively by these tape recordings, but from what I'm hearing, maybe not. Thanks again.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Yeah, no, thank you so much.
And again, I've been speaking with Rory Appleton, who is the politics reporter at the Fresno Bee.